This is the final Bear Howard for a while. I'm headed up north for the summer. I'll do a little bit of fishing and thinking. I might do a story now and then, but now that Trump's first 100 days are over and we know what the next 1,360 days will be like, it's time to pause and contemplate. We know that Trump 2.0 will be a never-ending story that will challenge even the hardiest amongst us. It's time to take a mental vacation and go play. Picking up the pieces in 2029, the 100 days after Trump's America. By Bear Howard. Prelude. This is a hopeful projected vision of the first 100 days of a new Democratic administration that took office on January 20, 2029, an administration built on emboldened Democrats, independent-minded voters, and the ashes of a Republican Party too burned out to mount serious resistance. This is not a look back at the first 100 days of Trump's second term, an era whose chaos and corruption defied even the harshest imagination. This is about what came next, the beginning of something different. A hopeful story. By Inauguration Day 2029, America was no longer a wounded giant so much as a battered survivor, staggering out of a long, brutal storm. The Trump years, 8 in total, had hollowed institutions, scorched political norms, alienated allies, and left the public so numbed by chaos that cynicism had become a survival mechanism. But the new government didn't come to mourn what had been lost. It came to rebuild, fast, unflinchingly, and without apologies to the forces that had nearly shattered the country. Armed with the largest Democratic majorities in a generation, buoyed by independents who had broken decisively with extremism, and facing a Republican opposition exhausted by its own excesses, the new leadership understood the moment, recalibrate, restore, and refuse to look back. Something unexpected had happened in 2026. While Trump basked in the illusion of unshakable dominance, the electorate, fatigued, economically rattled, and fed up with relentless chaos, flipped. Democrats retook the House and Senate in a midterm landslide that even optimists hadn't dared predict. Trump, true to form, claimed fraud, cried deep state revenge, and demanded recounts. But the numbers were overwhelming, and even courts stacked with Trump-appointed judges couldn't justify overturning reality this time. That Democratic majority changed the entire trajectory of the final 2 years. With Congress finally back in their hands, Democrats built a dam against the flood of authoritarianism that had soaked every corner of the federal government. They couldn't undo the past, but they could halt further damage. Oversight committees were reopened. Investigations resumed. Trump's more deranged proposals, like the 2027 Free States Firearms Act, a bill that would have made AR-15s tax-deductible, were dead on arrival. Funding for public education, climate programs, and science research was quietly restored through budget reconciliation. Critics accused them of gridlock. In truth, they were laying the first careful bricks on the road back to sanity. So when the new president arrived in 2029, they weren't stepping into a smoldering crater. Thanks to the Democratic sweep of 2026, they inherited a Congress ready, at least nominally, to partner in the work of repair. It meant executive orders could be reinforced with legislation. It meant the long-buried Democracy Restoration Act didn't have to die in committee. It meant judicial reform, long a progressive fantasy, could finally be debated openly, without being dismissed as radical. The president, recognizing the rare opportunity, wasted no time. Agencies corrupted or paralyzed under Trump, DOJ, EPA, IC, weren't just restaffed, they were reinvented. Leadership was selected not for political balance but for competence, credibility, and ethical resilience. What had once been derided as the deep state was rebranded the resilient state, a recognition that career public servants had done more to defend democracy than most elected officials. Internationally, however, the landscape was harsher and far less forgiving. 8 years of Trump's America First belligerence had all but fractured NATO. European partners, doubting America's commitment to collective defense, had invested heavily in independent security agreements, defense industries, and alternative global frameworks. The EU had accelerated its plans for technological and economic self-sufficiency, no longer relying on American innovation, banking, or trade. China had moved swiftly into the vacuum, not only tightening its grip over regional supply chains but building parallel systems of commerce and diplomacy, from Southeast Asia to Africa to Latin America, where American influence used to be taken for granted. Even secondary powers like India, Brazil, and the UAE had begun to chart their own courses, cutting deals that no longer needed Washington's approval or its dollars. Globalization hadn't collapsed, it had simply moved on without America at the center. The new president understood that rebuilding credibility abroad would require more than slogans and summits. The administration's first 100 days included a full-scale diplomatic offensive, aimed less at reclaiming dominance and more at re-establishing trust. NATO talks were reopened, but cautiously. The U.S. rejoined the Paris Climate Accord, not as a leader barking orders, but as a partner with ground to make up. Trade agreements were reimagined around mutual interest rather than American exceptionalism. Even so, American influence had permanently shrunk, and the new administration had the humility, and the strategic patience, to accept it. The Democratic majority also gave real teeth to the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, no longer just a public airing of grievances, but a real investigative body with subpoena power, immunity deals, and a national audience hungry for answers. The hearings became must-watch television, former White House aides detailing coercion campaigns, federal contractors exposing sweetheart deals brokered through back-channel apps, and even a handful of MAGA influencers admitting, on record, that disinformation had been far more profitable than truth. The commission angered the far right, as expected. But for most Americans, exhausted by conspiracy-driven governance, it was a long-overdue reckoning. People weren't clamoring for vengeance. They were starving for honesty. They needed someone, finally, to say, "You weren't crazy." It was that bad. With Congress fully aligned, the administration launched a sweeping modernization of the electoral system. Mail-in voting protections were codified at the federal level. Gerrymandered districts were redrawn by nonpartisan commissions. The Voting Rights Act wasn't just restored, it was future-proofed to confront 21st-century threats like AI-driven disinformation and micro-targeted voter suppression. States tried to challenge the reforms in court, but for once, democracy itself had a fighting chance. By day 100, something extraordinary had occurred: the new administration had used its political capital. Not timidly. Not performatively. But deliberately, surgically, and unapologetically. The president made clear, this was not about returning to normal. Normal had been the breeding ground for collapse. The goal was recalibration, to rebuild American governance on sturdier ground, informed by hard lessons rather than nostalgic myths. The threats, of course, hadn't vanished. Rogue governors refused to comply with federal mandates. Disinformation still pulsed through encrypted channels. Extremism hadn't disappeared, it had simply gone underground again, waiting for the next opportunity. But for the first time in nearly a decade, the machinery of democracy wasn't just creaking under the weight of manufactured outrage and cosplay fascism, it was moving. Not smoothly. Not quietly. But forward. And after the decade America had just survived, that was more than enough to call it a beginning. It was the start of America 2.0.